Ready to go?
Absolutely. Yeah. Hit the block, not me.
Call the meeting in order of the Procedure and Arrangements Committee. And John, if you'll take the roll.
Representatives Carlson.
Here.
Belter.
Here.
Mock.
Here.
Onstead.
Here.
Vigasa.
Here.
Senators Wardner.
Here.
Erbely.
Here.
Heckelman.
Here.
Holmberg. Klein.
Here.
Schneider.
Here.
Let's score it, Mr. Chairman.
In front of you are the minutes from the last meeting. Without any revisions or corrections, I'll take a motion to consider them, to approve them. All right, we have a motion by Senator Klein. We have a second by Representative Vigasa. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Very good. The minutes are approved. First item of the agenda is John is going to, I'm assuming it's you, that are going to review the guidelines for the chambers and displays.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We went through these at the last meeting as well. Just a little refresher is for both the chambers and the committee rooms. Priority is, of course, legislative branch use. When you're not in session, the other groups may use it basically pursuant to this committee's approval. And if they do use it, if you do grant approval, they have to agree to, you know, basically arrange with OMB and facility management to address the issues for setup and things like that. They also have to make sure they left the facilities in the same condition in which they took them. So the prior approval part is the important thing. Today you have two requests before you, one from Secretary of State Jaeger with respect to the House Conference Room, and one from the Department of Trust Lands with respect to the possibility of oil and gas lease auctions in 2016 on four different dates. And their request indicates that they are looking at moving their public auction process to an online format, but they want to make sure that the room or the chambers are, House chambers are available in the event that they do not go in that direction and they need the space. So, Mr. Chairman, the first request is from Secretary of State Jaeger, the first request on the agenda is for the Department of Trust Lands for four dates.
Do we need a motion for that to approve that?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Looking at those dates, if you see any conflicts there, let me know. Otherwise, they've always used our chambers.
That's correct.
And I think that's a good spot for that to take place. So if I can get a motion, if there's not any objections, as the rules say, if we would call back to special session, they're out. So, or if we had to have the chamber, they're out. So I look for a motion.
So moved.
Representative Mock moves. There a second?
Second.
Senator Wardner has a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, that one's approved. Next one is Secretary of State Jaeger.
Mr. Chairman, the Secretary of State is asking to use the House Balcony Conference Room for Project Development Headquarters for a project that the Secretary is working on. He's looking at moving in on February 1st of next year. I have discussed with the Secretary that room is scheduled to be have some work done in it. You know, the ceiling is going to be replaced. You have the old falling apart yellow ceiling. We'll have new ceiling and I believe heat pumps are going to be replaced, and that's scheduled for likely the first 2 weeks of February, so that may not be available until mid to late February for use by the Secretary of State if it's approved by you.
Secretary of State, any comments? Reason why you need to bring your hallowed group into the House chambers?
Well, Mr. Chairman, good morning, everybody. Al Jaeger, Secretary of State. You know, we're really looking for a space, you know, anywheres, because this is going to be a lengthy process and very involved. And so whether it's that room or, you know, like the former smoking room, I mean, we're looking at any alternatives. But, you know, the space that we're using now is in the J Wing, which is being remodeled for court use and I think some legislative use. And right now, I think we've been told that, you know, we'll probably be out of there the middle of February. So we can probably, you know, work with things a little bit. You know, we'll work with whomever we have to, but we do need something for the long term to, you know, for the project team and stuff like that.
That's not the most accessible room in the place. You've got to go up and around, and not really good handicap access up there. That's not a problem?
No, because, you know, the project team right now, we're not aware of, you know, anything. And I think that, you know, if we would run into a situation, as I recall, that there is an elevator over by the speaker's office, that, you know, if we ran into that particular situation.
The only, Durenson, the only thing I would request is that we're out of there by October 31st, because the 1st of November, as we get to our report.
Oh, yeah. No, we're quite aware of that.
Sessions and all that, we would need that room back for use then.
No, we're quite aware that there's a session coming, and, you know, we understand all of that. And hopefully by then, you know, if we need other options, that we'll have it available. In my allocated space that I have right now, we don't have any kind of room like that that we can set up, so.
Okay, so the delayed use of the room because of the work up there is not a problem?
We'll make it work.
Any comments, thoughts? Now I'll take a motion to approve.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we allow the Secretary of State's office to use the conference room.
All right, we have a motion by Senator Wardner. Is there a second? Second by Representative Onstead. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion's approved.
Thank you.
All right, moving on to next. Is there anything else for using the chambers?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Nope. Next item on the agenda, consideration of an offer by the Medical Association to provide a physician service. Well, I for one don't understand. If we need it, that's fine. If we don't need it and not required for safety reasons, then I don't think we should do it. And if somebody wants to answer that, I'll be glad to hear it.
Chairman Carlson, could I ask
Joel
to speak to that?
Good morning. Excuse me. Good morning. Joel Leopold. I'm the architect, the state facility planner up in the Office of Management and Budget. And we've went round and round on this third exit. And I'm the authority having jurisdiction as appointed by the Office of Management and Budget, which means I'm the building official for the campus. And it was my decision to retain that third exit. We are only five people short of the code need for a third exit, which is 500 people. This space is rated for 495. That's just waiting for you to mark.
I'm listening.
Okay. My other concern is that they're going to be using this for training space, and we're bringing people who are not familiar with the building into the bowels of the building. They're not familiar with the building. In an emergency situation, I'm concerned that they have to traverse over 300 feet to get to an exit. And in my opinion, and the decision I made, was that I am more comfortable with making sure we can get people out of that space. I also heard the comment that if there was an accident and something happened down there, and it was discovered that we could have made the building safer, and we chose not to, that would be a very bad decision. So therefore, I'm insisting that third exit be included.
Explain insisting.
As the authority having jurisdiction, it's up to me to waive that third exit or to require it. Just as if the billing official for Bismarck decided that something in the Civic Center needed additional safety. Or when we had to sprinkle the veterans home.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question for Mr. Leopold. Where is that third exit then anticipated? Where do you have it?
That is the one that he was referring to that's coming out the side of the building.
The existing sidewalk?
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I think that was in the original discussion when we discussed this. I don't think it was even considered as an option at that point, because we knew it was a safety issue when we discussed this plan. I just think, looking to see if you had a different place that you were moving it to.
No. What happened is when we added the wraparound hallway, that dropped the occupancy from 510 to 495. And that's when they decided to start debating whether the third exit was actually required. And for the reasons I listed earlier, unfamiliar with the building, distance to exit, I'm confident that it's the right decision to leave that third exit in.
President Belz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The location of the other two exits, are they on this?
Yeah. We don't have the full building. You know, the building, if we had the full building, would come to about here. But so the other two exits, do you see where it says existing data?
Yes.
Okay, just to the right of that, and then down below where you see the door swinging out, that's one. The other one would be next to existing mechanical on the other side. And then...
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, continue.
So if you look at that pre-function area, so anybody exiting, when they get to the, if you're looking at the diagram here, people exiting the buildings, they would either go towards that north one that you're proposing, or go down the sheet and go out the right-hand lower corner.
Right, and then they traverse down that hallway, past Secretary of State and Indian Affairs, and then get all the way around to the corner where the exit is, which is a pretty considerable distance in a black building.
Okay.
In an emergency situation. And the concern that we have, I'd like to see us get the people directly to the outside, as opposed to having to traverse the hallways.
Mr. Chairman, and then the other exit on the other corner, that is also not an exit to the outside?
Correct. That also continues down the hallway before it gets to the stairwell.
Thank you.
One other thing that I would mention is the two doors, I might have to hold this up. The two doors, one here and one here, those are also being added because technically when you come out of this room or that door and that door, you're in a common atmosphere. So in reality, if we don't add those two doors, we really only have one exit, because if the smoke is in the hallway, it's in the whole hallway. So we're having to add those two doors to separate the atmospheres. You should be able to get down that hallway without having the smoke infiltrate both of those exit ways. So even what we have now is not good.
But it's still a considerable distance from the far corner of the meeting room, where the big meeting room is, to get to this exit. It's actually closer for the majority of your people to be sitting to go to the other exit.
Correct.
There's no question it'd be closer for them there.
Correct.
And then they don't have to walk through the maze. Either way, they've got to do it. What's the cost of this? Add this extra one that's not, would not be required by code.
It's somewhere around $92,000. That's my number. That's not a bid.
Yes, Representative Bigassau.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sir, that third entrance, is that an entrance also or just an emergency exit?
Exit only.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I think it's overkill. You know, we could be accused of a lot of things around this building for safety reasons. But when we met all the codes, and then to think one more, we got to have one more one. It's still a considerable distance from a lot of places to get to it. Another $92,000 for the exit of the building. Any comments from the people going to use the space?
Excuse me, Sally Hubbard, State Court Administrator. I would like to see the money invested and to do it so that this is fully functional for not only for the courts, but for anybody else who wants to use it in the future. You know, the court is using it for these meeting rooms. At some point, the legislature may want to take over more space in here or to use it to start using the other conference room and to add more people or to more things, you know, part of this is based on, you know, how we intend to use it. The Capitol Grounds Committee, as far as I know, has already approved that exit there, so that's my take on it, so.
So what authority, if any, being, what was the word you used again?
Authority having jurisdiction.
Oh, okay. So, other than us being informed of this, what authority do we have on this issue? Jorgensen?
Mr. Chairman, the money's been appropriated. I think your authority probably is limited to giving a recommendation on what you feel would be appropriate. The committee itself, I think, lacks the overall authority to say do not do it, but you can certainly give any recommendation one way or the other and leave it up to Office of Management and Budget and to make that decision.
Yes.
Jason Steckler, Legislative Council Administrative Services Director. I have been involved with Joel and Sally as we've gone through this. I've been the Legislative Council rep along with Mr. Forrester as far as the IT and the technology that goes into the rooms to ensure that the legislative body can use the rooms efficiently and that type of deal. There's just a couple of points I want to bring up here. I think we have some options. And I understand Joel's jurisdiction. We've worked with them with other things, whether it be fire safety, that type of deal. I have no issue with that. And I'm not necessarily even opposed to this third exit, because I think it, in some situations it does make sense. But just for some clarification, before that exterior hallway on the west, north, and the east side was put in, the occupancy that we were told was 502, making the third exit a requirement. Hence, during the standing committee, I'm sure that's what they briefed, because that was the space and that's what it was rated for. When the hallway was added, it actually went down to 465. So we're quite a ways away from the 500 at this point. It's not 495, at least not what I've been told. Having said all that, I'm still not opposed to the third exit, but I think we've got some options, especially us as the planning team, to make it and add alternate to the bid. So when these go out to bid, it's actually bid as a separate project. And we have other things in this project that are add alternate, such as some windows and that type of deal. What it does is gives us the flexibility when the bids come in, if we are over budget or close to budget, we have the opportunity to say, no, no windows, or no, we'll wait on the exit. The nice thing about actually including it as an add alternate and having it already spec'd out by an engineer, civil engineer, the architect, is that if we ever wanted to do it in the future, we could always do it. And I'm not saying that we're going to, just because it's an add alternate, we're not going to do it right away. But I think we have some options going forward here. Now, if the bids all come in and we're still at budget and everything's good, then maybe it makes sense to put in the third exit right away. Other options, you know, people can say that the office space there, what if they take that and turn it into a committee room? Now all of a sudden your occupancy load would go up. Yep, possibility. But you could also take one of these conference or meeting areas and turn it into more office space, which means your occupancy is going to go down. So, I mean, we could sit here and what if this until the cows come home. But I'm saying we do have some options, and I'm not saying I'm opposed to the third exit, because I agree when you're trying to get people out of the building, Joel is the jurisdiction, and we need to listen to him. But that's just my two cents, sir.
I'm trying to figure out what free function means. I've done a little building in my time, but I've never had a pre-function room that I've
Sally Haleva, State Court Administrator again. The pre-function area is just basically a short hallway, and it's only intended to be used with some chairs and some tables so that people, as they need to step out of the rooms to take phone calls or to deal with some court business or to deal with some kind of administrative business, have a place where they can go and take that business, or whether, you know, it's at break time. It's not really much space, and we're not talking about a lot of tables. We're talking like two or three small tables. If you've been maybe to the Radisson lately down by the ballroom, they would have what we would call a pre-function area, where they have those few bar height tables and some chairs sitting out there.
So we're serving drinks here?
No, we're not serving drinks here.
I thought we finally broke that mold. Okay, I understand what you're talking about there. Obviously, that's a bigger space than you need for a hallway for an exit, so it better have some use, or you just kind of wasted space.
Well, we would, I think we need that space.
I'm in agreement with what Mr. Stecler was talking about. I think that before this is cut and dried, I'd like to see it as an option and look at all the numbers and see how it rolls, because it is not required by code. We could make everything better and more and easier and spend more money, and it's one step better than it needs to be, but there's a point in time when you got to take a look at the dollars and say, are we getting everything else we need and still within what is legally safe to have our people involved in? So that would be my recommendation, is that we make it an option, just like we do with some windows. Get an actual cost on it so we know how this whole project wraps together. And it's amazing, no matter what we appropriate, that always seems to be what the number comes out to. Funny, people must know that number. So I don't know what you want us to do. That would be my recommendation, is that we make it an option. Obviously, we have a little question about whether or not we have any authority to even say anything on this. But again, we appropriate the money, and if the money's not there, they couldn't do it anyway. You know, if there wasn't enough money to do there, something it'd have to give. So I don't know if there's any other comments or thoughts on that, but I'd like to see it as one of the options going forward. Did I summarize that correctly, Mr. Stecler?
Chairman?
Yes, Representative Onstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We haven't sent this out to bids yet at this point, and so what you're really saying is on that data sheet where it lists the costs and stuff, we would put that as an add-on, and to be bid at that price. And so
you see where the whole project comes in and then report back to us as to what's going on.
And it might all come under that bid, and it all fits in part of that project. Because if it comes, even the current listing of things, and if it comes out of way over bid, the process would be to go back and look at what can we scale down to meet that position. So let's just add that in to that line item and bid that whole project.
You know, I don't think this requires any kind of a motion. I think it requires you understanding where we're at on the issue. We didn't say no, we didn't say yes, because we probably don't have the final authority, but we believe it should be priced out as an option as you go forward. If there's some other wish list things that I'm sure you would like to add on from your perspective as the using of the space.
And Mr. Chairman, if it is legislative space, the executive branch jurisdiction is probably a little bit limited there as well. So you do have some degree of direction, I guess, and with respect to this.
Okay, so what do we need to do?
Excuse me, Chairman.
Yes.
Carlson, I'm not sure. I mean, we haven't looked at this as legislative space in total. What we've discussed is shared legislative space for those three particular meeting rooms. So,
which means we did have some of that in our budget, I believe.
Right.
You know, so that is funded out of the legislative side.
Exactly, for the meeting room. So
we do have some input as to what's going on here.
Absolutely have some input. I just wanted to make clear that as far as our understanding is that the shared space is those three rooms and not the total space. But
and what is the, I'm confused now. I heard two numbers. What is the occupancy? Is it 465 or is it 495?
The architect, J2, and myself don't necessarily agree. I did the original calculations. I came up with 510, not 502. I did the original calculations to get to 495, not 465. I am not sure why J2 doesn't agree with me. But ultimately, what I classify it as is what counts.
you have any problem with making these as alternatives when you're doing your bidding process?
I'm afraid I do. I'm sorry, but life safety shouldn't have a price put on it.
But life safety, when it's beyond code, is a determination. And it's not your money, it's the taxpayer's money.
Fair enough.
Correct?
Correct.
All right. I mean, I've dealt with this for 35 years, and we always build to the code. And in most cases, you try and do better than the code.
Right. The code
but
is not, the minimum.
But the code is a recommendation.
It's a minimum.
But it's a minimum, but it's also, if you had to fall back on a number, you said, I was within the safety code for this building, and I did it the right way, and there were the proper distances for people to exit the building.
Correct.
That is what, in the end, that some judge is going to look at. And what we're saying here is that all those are met, and we have one extra. Correct?
Correct.
Correct. Okay. We just think it should be bid as an alternative when you do it. Representative Belter, any comments?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm not so sure we shouldn't have some type of motion so that this committee goes on record, because I think that it's important that in this bidding process that because we're going beyond code, that there should be some flexibility in this bidding process, that maybe that $95,000 might want to be spent someplace else other than that exit. So even though maybe we don't have a lot of control over it, I'm not so sure that as a committee we shouldn't have a guideline, so to speak, from the legislative branch.
You craft the motion, I'll accept it, and we'll get a second.
And committee members, let me be on record as saying I'm not opposed to that, but my license, my architecture license is on the line. And if the committee directs us to bid that third exit as an alternate, that basically covers my issue of being held accountable for not making the building as safe as possible. I don't want to have the State Board of Architecture come back and pull my license for not watching out for the public safety.
But on the other hand, if we wanted to make the building as safe as possible, we'd have an exit every 50 feet somewhere.
We have stairwells that exit to the outside, too.
And we would have all kinds of other changes to the building that was built in the 30s.
We would.
Maybe we would.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I think one thing to remember is that when we were discussing this during the session, there was no outside hallway on there. And that was why it was almost mandatory that we have that exit out with access to the north sidewalk, because we couldn't go north. There was no option to go north out of there. And there was no hallway on the north and the west sides over there where people could get out of those meeting rooms as an alternate at that time. So it looked different when we actually worked with this last session than it does right now after the architect drafted.
Well, I would accept a motion that would say that as they review the final plans of this within the realm of public safety, that they use as alternate bids, additional exits from the building and other windows or changes that may be necessary. I don't know how else to word it, but I would think that would cover most of it. Representative Mock?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to clarify, that would be as an alternative bid as opposed to a mandatory bid. That would be in the original design.
Well, so they're going to have lots of alternatives. I'm sure that there will be wish lists that the judiciary comes with, that they're going to ask them if this will fit, we like this. If this will fit, we like that. And then take a look at it.
Right.
And I understand your concern. You know, we're not challenging your authority here. We're not in agreement, but we also understand that your intentions are to have more than necessary, and you think it's a good alternative. So we'd like to have a bid at that.
If I may, and if that motion were made, and opposing that motion would say that you wanted it to be a part of the original, a part of the bid as a mandatory part of the project and not part of the additional bid. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, that's how it would be.
Yep.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
There you go. My voice.
Yeah.
Just have a procedural question. This would essentially be a non-binding sort of advisory motion by the committee? Maybe it's properly phrased.
Because there is legislative involvement with the money, that's a point well taken from Mr. Bjornson, is that we are part of this, and we are part of the funding mechanism for this. We would like to see this as bid as an alternative, is basically what we're saying.
Okay, and Mr. Leopold would still have the ability to do what's right for public safety if he needs to?
Authority is what here, but on the other hand, it does give him some assurance that our recommendation was that, and it gives him a little bit of ground cover. I understand that, and if we can do that, that's fine. But I do think it's also imperative that we look at a $92,000 expenditure and see if it's really necessary to be spent, and whether or not there's other things that could be done or should be done. Are you going to make the motion that I kind of said, or?
Mr. Chairman, I would move what you kind of said.
John, and Mr. Bjornson will kind of write down what I kind of said.
Right.
All right. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
A second by Senator Wardner. Any other discussion?
Chairman.
Yes.
I appreciate this motion because I do agree that it does give, you know, Mr. Leopold the cover that he needs, and I think it's a good part of the process. I'm going to resist the motion. I do believe that while it's public dollars, it's also in a public building, and public safety is paramount, and that I would, knowing the schematics and how internal walls have adjusted the adjusting of the internal plans have adjusted the occupancy, I just see too many moving parts that would leave this right around the 500 occupancy mark. I would like to see this be a part of the full bid of the entire project as a mandatory component and not as an alternative. I do think that this is a motion that does give the architect the cover that they need to move forward, but I'm going to resist the motion just because I see a few too many moving parts that leave a final number in question.
Any other discussion? I find it odd that everybody's a disagreement over the...
Mr. Chairman.
Mr.
Chairman. Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Is it clear that we do not want to lower the ceiling?
Or raise the floor?
Or raise the floor?
Yes.
I mean lower the, raise the floor, I guess.
Yeah, I would guess.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Kyle Forster, and my team manager. An update on sound systems. The sound system has been installed in the Lewis and Clark room. That's completed. The came in on time and slightly under budget. The plan is to continue with the other committee rooms for the sound system as approved at the last meeting. The vendor that we're working with is working on the design for those sound systems currently. In regard to the computer replacement work group, we did receive our names for the members of the committee from the Senate side. We need to identify who's going to be the members from the House and who's going to chairman on that committee. The plan for that committee would probably to meet in February. Basically, we're waiting. We deal with a major vendor, and right now HP is issuing new equipment. They're upgrading their processor on their devices, and they're having brand new equipment come out in January, and we'd like to have demonstration equipment for that to show you. So we'd want the real product so you guys can meet and choose, and then we'll have other products that we'll be looking at too. So that's the timing that we're looking at having our first meeting for that work group. And that's all I have.
Any comments, questions?
Thank you.
Authorize John and the staff to work on. There's been some changes, and John will explain it to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At the last meeting, this group authorized continuation of the legislative intern program. As you recall, we have traditionally had 10 students from the University of North Dakota Law School, and that's where the issue is. The American Bar Association sets guidelines for what law students can do and as far as external work and internship programs. And apparently a new guideline has come down that basically eliminates the ability of us to use a stipend to compensate the law students for their time here. You authorized at the last meeting a stipend of, I believe, of $3,500 per month. That no longer will be acceptable to the American Bar Association, so as far as accreditation for the law school, we have to try to find an alternative route to continue to make the program attractive to law students so that they can take a semester off from school. We've talked to the dean and the associate dean to try to figure out some ideas, and some of the things that have come to mind initially have been addressing tuition, as to maybe tuition waivers, providing housing as allowed by the American Bar Association. We can't provide a housing allowance because they only allow the student to accept an amount that would be in excess of what they're paying at their home address. So if they're paying for an apartment in Grand Forks and it costs $100 more for an apartment here, they only could get that $100 more. They couldn't get the full amount. It's a very strict guideline that's been imposed, and it's made it a little bit more of a challenge for the law school to make a program like this attractive to a student when they have to leave their home for a full semester. So with your permission, our office will continue to work with the law school to explore alternatives to try to continue to make the program acceptable and to fall within that guideline that you established at the last meeting of about $3,500 a month.
Senator Snyder, could you wave your magic wands, Mr. Attorney?
I wish I had one of those, Mr. Chairman, to make things a lot easier. But, John, what is the rationale behind the ABA's approach here? I mean, law school tuition is ridiculous in most places, pretty reasonable at UND. You know, can you articulate why the ABA is going after law students who are being paid for internships?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Snyder, no. And the law school was able to give me no good explanation of that either. You know, the ABA has in the past had, you know, talked about only should be working 20 hours a week, that type of thing. I suspect what they're trying to get at is law students being used as apprentices or as low-paid labor, so they're eliminating that possibility in all likelihood. But it certainly reduces the educational opportunities of programs like this with their overbroad reach on that policy.
Is there an opportunity for a waiver, just given the uniqueness of this program? I mean, could we work as a legislature with UND to potentially challenge this within the ABA? I mean,
Mr. Chairman, Senator Snyder, I wouldn't say that we couldn't. I'm not certain that this is and I can provide you a copy of it. It's called the Managing Director's Guidance Memo, Reasonable Expenses Related to a Field Placement. It was issued in August of this year, and the bottom line is that it says that stipends from employers are not permissible. I don't know if we're really considered an employer, but from the perspective of the law school and what they understand this guidance memo to mean is that we cannot offer that stipend.
You know, maybe just in our direction to John, if we could urge UND to work with us as a legislature to maybe challenge this or get clarification, that were not an employer, I think that would be appropriate too. You know, it's one thing to read, you know, the guidance memo, it's another to actually challenge it within the ABA, so I hope we could push back. And one final thing, if I could, I raise this every time this comes before the committee, but two of my seatmates, one Republican, one Democrat, have served in the legislature while in law school. And their classmates get credit for being out here, and they who are making the laws do not. And I've always thought that that's just completely nonsensical. And so if there's a way that you could also potentially work with UND to address that, and maybe it's an ABA restriction too, but to me that makes no sense.
In both of those cases, those people set their education back by missing those semesters. So I agree with you on that point. What better experience in the legal field than to create the laws you work under? These interns have become valuable to us. I mean, we really need them in those committees. We need to find a way to make this all work, John. And if they won't allow the stipends as we do it, then we have to find other ways to make sure that they get some coverage out here. Otherwise, why would they come? Because most of them, again, are going to be out of school. They get credit, but they're still out of their routine of classes. So we've got to find a way to make that work, because we need those kids out here working for us. All right, anything else, John? Rules, if you have any rules that you're interested in changing or working on, bring those with you to the next meeting. Work with council, bring them with, and we'll address those. It's too early to get into to that today, but the next meeting we have, which we'll try and again work with the budget section, which I believe they're trying to schedule for May or March 16th. So yep. If you want to put that down for March 16th, some of us will still be in North Dakota. Some of us will not. And that was a poke at one particular individual. But we'll bring those rule changes and we'll discuss those at that time. We'll leave time on the agenda to deal with those things. And again, for your gratification, that's when we'll be back. And if you had something for us on both of those rooms, that would be good if you could coordinate those with proper people so we can take a look at ideas for those two areas. Anything else for the good of the order? Yes. Representative Belcher?
John, I just have one question on the Supreme Court bill that just passed. There's a seat
What is the process of naming rooms? Whose responsibility is that?
I have no idea.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, you know, there's historical part of that. The Haugen Room was named through a resolution. I think it was in the 87 session. There was a resolution passed by the legislature naming that room. All of the other rooms after the remodeling that was done in early 80s was done through this committee. Harvest, Rough Rider, Peace Garden, Fort Totten, all of those were this committee basically initiated those names.
We named the Medora Room down here when we did right. The circle, I think.
That's the latest one, right?
Yeah. I know that was our. Now this is a shared facility, so this is air different.
Right. But it is legislative space.
Yeah.
So Mr. Chairman, I was just wondering who's responsible.
There was no motion to name that, even though she suggested was it Ms. Justice Levine?
Yes.
We'll check it. We'll discuss that at the next meeting, because as they proceed with this, sir, obviously it's an interest of theirs to do. We should see if we buy into that or not buy into it.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
You mentioned this is a shared facility, but somewhere they're going to occupy it probably 80% of the time. And so who really has final, I mean, it's shared, who really has the final say on matters? Is it building management, or is it facility management, or is it the legislative council, or this group, or who?
Well, Mr. Chairman, that, you know, I think it's a shared responsibility. The Century Code provides that the legislature's got control over that approximately 4,000 square feet in the judicial wing, and that includes the Pioneer Room. which we've had since the early '80s. So I think we have to work together on it, but there is that statutory reference that the legislature has control over it. I don't know what more we can say on that.
Let's make sure we understand that before we get into an argument over whose name should be on the door, and make sure that we know who his responsibility really is. And that's a valid question. Is it ours or theirs? Is it shared? We don't need to have a, let's get the room right, and then worry about whose name goes on the door. Any other business? Mr. Bjornson, anything else to go to the order?
No, Mr. Chairman.
We have a motion to adjourn, a second.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.
I think they need that conference room after.
That's what I was thinking.
Because that's where they have their discussions regarding.